Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, tonight what I want to do is bring some verses to you, think about it, and then we're going to put it into practice. One of the most prominent Old Testament characters is a man by the name of David. So if you're not familiar with your Old Testament, maybe you've heard the story of David and Goliath. It's that David. David was a shepherd, attacked the giant, killed him, and God was working in David's life, had anointed him to be king, and eventually he did become king. And there's a lot of things you can learn. He's one of the main characters in the Old Testament. A lot of things we can learn from his life. Things like he was a man after God's own heart. This is a man that was wonderfully blessed of the Lord. He had a heart after the things of God. He loved the Lord. He loved to be in the presence of the Lord. One of the things that I think people don't often think about relative to David that is true and I think is really very, very significant in the way God used him is that he was known in the Bible, as you read his life story, he was a man who inquired of the Lord, that he would ask God before he did anything, he would ask God. Which, when Paul tells us to pray without ceasing in the New Testament, it's this idea of constantly, continually living a life that seeks the Lord, seeks his wisdom, and this is a huge key to knowing God's blessing in our lives. Early on, you see it in the life of David in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 14, there is a priest who is talking to the king about David, and he says, "And who among all your servants is so faithful as David, who is the king's son-in-law and captain over your bodyguard, honored in your house? Is today the first time that I've inquired of God for him?" So in other words, the priest says to the king, to King Saul, knowing that Saul knows this to be true, "Listen, you know that David is constantly coming to me and asking me to seek the Lord's direction for him." And the result is, the Bible says this about David and his success as a leader. When the princes of the Philistines are the enemies of Israel. When they came out to battle, as often as they came out, David had more success than all the servants of Saul, King Saul, so that his name was highly esteemed. So here's David, and it's known that David is a person who inquires of God. And the result is David's a person who's more successful than any of the other commanders. As if to remind us, the Bible is saying, listen, that if you want to have success in what you do, if you want to have the favor of the Lord, if you want to have the blessing of the Lord on your life, then you have to make sure, every one of us has to make sure that we're seeking the Lord, that we're inquiring, that we're asking the Lord for his direction in our life. And you see this ongoing through David's life. We'll just move quickly through several different scriptures. 1 Samuel 23. Now they told David. Now at this point in his life, David, Saul is jealous. King Saul's jealous of David. He's trying to kill him. And so David is fleeing. And David's got a band of men around him. They're not really a big massive army at this point. It's a group of about 600 men that are traveling with him. And this comes up. They told David, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are robbing the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go and attack the Philistines?'" The Philistines would be a big army. In fact, the Philistines are so big at this particular time in the history of Israel, they're defeating Israel's armies. So, "Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go and attack the Philistines?' And the Lord said to David," as we read through these, what you're going to find is David inquires of the Lord, and the Lord speaks to him, which is a reminder to us that God talks to us, that when you and I ask God for wisdom, the Bible says if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask of God who gives to all men generously, that he'll give. He gives generously. He's the generous giver, will give wisdom. So if you and I ask God, God is going to speak to us. And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Behold, we're afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" So David's heard from God. God has said, "Go attack." And David's men are saying, "Are you nuts? I mean, we're 600 men. They've got huge armies. They'll defeat us." So watch what David does, because what David does here is very, very important, and it points to this whole discipline of learning to hear the voice of the Lord. It takes time to learn to hear God's voice. Now, sometimes you're going to hear it, even as a new believer, you're going to hear it readily, quickly on some things, but there's going to be other times where you're going to have to discern and you're going to have to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. So the first rule in spiritual living is this: when it comes to hearing the voice of the Lord, is you may be wrong. I mean, I think we do well to be careful that we don't ever become ignorant or arrogant and say, "You know, well, God told me, so I don't care what anybody else says." That's not what David does. The men come to him and they say, "David, you know what, you're saying you heard from God, and, you know, we're not sure about that." So watch what David does, verse 4. Then David inquired of the Lord again. So David goes back and he says, "Lord, do you want us to do that?" And the Lord answered him, "Arise and go down to Keilah." God doesn't berate him. God doesn't say, "Well, you heard from me once." God understands. And God just reaffirms it. And David and his men went to Keilah, fought with the Philistines, and brought away their livestock, struck them with a great blow. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. David prayed, he obeyed God, and God gave him great success. He sought God, he obeyed what he heard, and God blessed him. Then you come to chapter 23 and verse 9. David knew that Saul was plotting harm against him, and he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." And what the ephod was it was a something the priest had inside was two things called Urim and Thummim. And we don't really know. They're like sticks. And it'd be like casting a lot. And there was a way in which it would be, if the priest did it, it was a way of discerning God's will. So you could ask a question, you'd cast the lot, and it would give you a yes or no answer. So he's saying, "Bring the ephod here." Then David said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, your servants have surely heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account," because David now is living there in that city. "Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand?" So here's David, he's delivered them, so you'd think maybe they'd protect him from Saul. So he's asking God, what are they going to do? "Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord, the God of Israel, please tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will surrender you." So again, he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord answers him. Now listen, what is this saying? That if you and I inquire of the Lord, God is going to show you what to do. You see it again in David's life in chapter 30. And here's David, and he and his men have gone on an expedition, and they've been out fighting, and they come back, and people have carried off their families and their livestock, and David's men are exhausted. It's a much larger army that's done it. David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Bring me the ephod." So he brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue the band? Will I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and shall surely rescue." So here's David. What I'm trying to show you is before David becomes the king, David has built this discipline in his life. He's always seeking God. He's always asking God, "God, show me what to do." He doesn't make decisions. He doesn't just assume. He already knows. So now, when you come to 1 Chronicles chapter 14, David is a king. And in verse 8, we read this: "When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, but David heard of it and went out against them." Now, the very next verse says, and David's going to inquire of the Lord. But what I want you to notice here is David could have said, you know, I'm a king. I've got an army. I beat the Philistines. I beat them before. I can beat them again. I don't need to ask God. I've been there. I've done that. And here's the thing. You have to seek God. It doesn't matter. Here's a mistake a lot of people make. They think because they've made a similar decision before, they don't have to seek God on the new decision they're getting ready to make. You know, people make a mistake when they don't seek the Lord about all kinds of things they do. You getting ready to buy a car? You ought to be seeking the Lord. You say, well, I know what I want. You know what? You ought to seek the Lord. You ought to ask the Lord. You say, you're getting ready to buy a house. You say, I've bought lots of houses. I mean, I like the house. My wife likes the house. We're going to get the house. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I would seek the Lord first. You know, you're a lot better off to not get in a hurry. You're better off to wait on the Lord, to seek the Lord, to ask the Lord. In fact, as I was preparing this, I really felt in my heart that there's a business person tonight who's getting ready to do a deal, and you've not prayed about it. And you're going to make a mistake if you don't seek the Lord. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't do it. I'm saying you should seek the Lord. You haven't prayed. David understood that the secret, the key to the blessing of God, is to invite God in to every situation in his life. Listen, this is true. This is true in every situation of our life, to just invite God in and to seek him so he can lead us. Now, here's David. The Philistines are coming out to attack him. He's the king. And in verse 10, we read this. And David inquired of God, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said to him, go up and I'll give them into your hands. So David is saying this. I want you to just get a hold of this. He's not so proud as to think he can just handle it. Does he have an army? Yes. Has he defeated them multiple times? Yes. But he doesn't assume that because he's been there and done that he doesn't have to seek God. A part of what will help any of our prayer lives is when we realize that unless God helps us, we're finished. That unless God shows up, it doesn't matter if we think we know. It doesn't matter if it looks good to us. We have to have his help. David is saying, listen, I'm not going to go fight unless God helps me. And what gets a lot of Christians in trouble is they go out and they do what they thought they should do. And then they start quoting Bible, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, yeah, praise God, you can. But it'd have been better off if you'd have backed up the tape and prayed a little bit and asked God, what is it that you want to do on this? Or God, go before me. Or God, help me with this. God, I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not discerning enough. God, there's always more than meets the eye. And God, unless you help me, I'm sunk. I mean, why do you think Jesus gets up in the morning and prays every morning? It says every morning he gets up early and he goes out and prays. Why? Because he needs direction from the Father. He says, I only do what I see my Father doing. He says, I don't want to do anything that God doesn't want to do. I mean, the way it works in a practical sense is this, is like, you know, this morning, as I'm going through my devotional time, and I do this every day, I'll do it again tomorrow morning, I will get my phone out at one point in my prayer time, and I will look at my appointments for the day, and I will pray over every appointment. God, help me on this. Help me to have a good word for the people I'm talking to. Help me to be sensitive. Help me to be able to be a blessing to people. Give me wisdom in this meeting. Help me to know what's at stake here. Help me to see things as you. God, I've got to have you go before me. Do you follow what I'm saying? To ask God, to seek God, to wait on God. It's so easy for us to just slip into some life routine and just become very mechanical in our worship, very mechanical in our walking with God, and we're just kind of going through the motions, And listen, God wants us to invite him in to every situation. And when we do, we're going to watch God work and we're going to see God's favor. Now watch this. Here's David. And the Philistines yet again made a raid in the valley. So, I mean, they're constantly attacking. And when David again inquired of God, I mean, his generals have to be thinking, hey, David, what's the deal? Come on. We can beat these guys blindfolded with one hand tied behind our back. You know you can win. We beat them last time. We carried off a lot of plunder. What makes you think, why would you even have to waste time praying? And here's what David says, you know, I'm not going to do anything without seeking God first. And so in verse 14, we read this. And when David again inquired of God, now I want you to think, how many times have we seen that word? Isn't that, it's very interesting. The repetition of that word relative to David, he's constantly seeking God. God said to him, you shall not go up after them. Go around and come against them opposite the balsam trees. Now, there's a couple of things that I think are, and then we're going to pray here in a moment. Musicians, you can come. Some lessons I want you to notice. Just because God does something one way, one time, doesn't mean he's going to do it the same way the next time. God loves variety. You can't look at the earth without concluding he's a God of amazing variety. And God likes to show his power. And God likes to partner with us. And so don't ever assume that because you saw God do something one way, that's the way God's going to do it the next time. Because God is very creative. And here's the thing. He has different ways of winning the battle. He can win your battle. He might have won your battle one way one time, but God can win your battle another way the next time. And he has different ways of directing us. So you may come into the altar needing direction from the Lord. He may speak to you, and that would be just awesome. He does that. But then you may come into the altar and you may ask him, and you're like, I didn't get a word from God. I mean, last time he gave me a word and I don't get what, you know. And what he's wanting to do is he's wanting to speak to you tomorrow morning, the start of your day. Or maybe what's going to happen is somebody's going to call you, and in the middle of the conversation, there's going to be an idea that drops in your heart, or there's going to be words that they speak. And instantly, you're going to, in your spirit, you're going to know, the Lord is speaking to me right now. I know he is. He's directing me. You'll sense a grace in that moment to make a decision because you prayed. God has a variety of ways. You may be saying, I need to know whether to do this or not. And, you know, instantly the next day, the door's closed. He just closed the door. Guess what? He answered. And what you have to do is you have to be willing to say, you know what, God, however it is that you want to answer, however it is you want to direct, I'm all about it. But if we don't have that openness to say, God, I just want to walk with you, then and we're saying, but for me, walking with you means you work this way, this way. I mean, God's not going to be put in your box or my box or anybody's box. And if we have these preconceived ideas of how God has to work or how we think he should work or what he must do, then we're going to be very, very frustrated, and we're going to miss God's direction if we don't inquire. Second, when you inquire, you have to be willing to say, Lord, where you lead, I'll follow. So the wrong thing would be to come into the presence of God and inquire as if you're like exploring your options. You know, it's not like, well, I'm gonna inquire the Lord, see what he says. Like, I may do it, I may not do it. What you have to do is when you're inquiring of the Lord, you're coming to him with the humility and the dependence that says, God, I only want to do what you want to do, and I only want what you want me to have, and I don't want anything you don't want me to have. And I don't want to go anywhere you don't want me to go. And I don't want any opportunity you don't want me to have. And just that openness that says, God, where you lead me, that's where I'm going to do. And what you ask me to do, then that's where I'm at. In other words, to have God lead you, there has to be, before you hear from him, a willingness to say, I'll obey what I hear from him, that I'll follow him. I mean, why would the Lord speak to you if he knew you weren't going to do what he was going to tell you to do? I mean, a lot of people lose the battle there because they've already decided what they will or will not do, what their limits are, and God may want to do something that you haven't even thought of, and he may ask you to do something that initially looks kind of foolish. He may ask you to do something that doesn't make any sense. He may lead you to do something, you know, that people, when you tell them about it, they'll laugh about it. When we bought our house, one of the things, you know, I was seeking some counsel, and when I had left the meeting, I felt like God spoke to my heart and said, just as I was leaving, I felt like he said, what they said, because a person was kidding around and said, make an offer on a snowy day. And they laughed. They were just messing with me. But when I got in the car, I felt like the Lord said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to make an offer on a snowy day. And so I was like, hey. So I get my phone out, and I'm looking at the Weather Channel app and or the KY3 app. And we love our KY3 weather people. And so anyway, I look, and several days away, there's supposed to be a snowstorm. So I call Debbie, and I say, hey, call the realtor and tell him we want to meet him on that day. And so we make the appointment for that day. And I mean, that day turns out to be, it's like Jehovah Jireh, because it's like the worst weather day. I mean, it's a day we're canceling church that night because the weather is so, so bad. And I mean, all I can say is things worked out unbelievably. Now you say, well, do you think the weather, making an offer on a bed, you know, so all of you are going to be praying for snow so you can make an offer. You know, I'm just saying, all I'm saying is, We had prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And then as we're walking through it, really not knowing what to do, having God drop things in our heart that were like that we responded to, that God used. I mean, God's unique. God can do things in a lot of different ways. So you say, Lord, speak to me. What you tell me to say, I'll say. Where you lead me, I'll go. And you know what? If you'll settle in your heart that you just want to be there with God, if you'll not make it about you as much as you make it about him, it takes all the pressure off, because then you're like, hey, I'm just going to do it and see what happens. If you really say, God, I want only what you want, because your will is best, there's a joy and a peace that comes in that. So here's David, and watch what happens in verse 14. And when David again inquired of God, God said to him, you shall not go up after them. Go around and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then go out to battle. Now, I don't know about you, but what in the world does that mean? Has David ever heard that before? No. Does he really know what that's going to sound like? No. What, I mean, how does that work? He's never fought a battle in all of his battles where it doesn't make any sense. But God says, this is what I want you to do, for God has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines. And it doesn't make sense. David's never seen it before. But God wanted to help David in a way David had never seen before. So, you know, if you want to see God do something, you've never seen him do before, you have to be open to inquiring of the Lord and obeying in ways you've never obeyed before, listening and just following him. And then it says this, and David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army from Gibeon to Gezer, and the fame of David went into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him on all the nations. So it says here that David struck them down, but it says in the previous verse, God struck them down. So what's that saying? God wants to fight for you, but he also wants to fight with you. He wants to set his hand on you, but in order to do that, you have to seek his face and obey him. And I just feel this anticipation that God is going to meet with people, that as you inquire of the Lord tonight, and as you commit, you know what? I'm gonna seek the Lord. Before I start my day, I'm gonna say, Lord, you know, get to your office a little bit early. Get to your classroom a little bit early. If it doesn't work for you to pray at the house, if it's chaotic or for whatever reason that's not gonna work, leave the house a little bit early and sit in your car, and before you start your day, say, God, I need your help today. I need you to help me. And whatever you know the problems are that await you that day, or if you don't, say, God, I'm asking you to lead me, to guide me, to go before me, to help me, to prompt me when I should say, when I shouldn't say. God, I just want to obey you. And when you do that, what happens is you set yourself up for the blessing of the Lord in your life. And settle it in your heart. He wants to bless. He wants to do good. But if we don't seek him and we don't inquire from him, we're not going to experience his goodness. David wins battles because David seeks God. Straight up, that's the deal. David is able to walk in step with the Lord because David hears from the Lord, and he hears from the Lord because David asks the Lord. He says, God, show me. I want to hear your voice. He inquires of the Lord. So I don't know what you've come tonight to seek from the Lord, but in these last moments of the prayer meeting, if you're new tonight, we're gonna close in approximately 10 minutes. So for the next 10 minutes, just in the presence of the Lord, begin to say, God, I need your help with this, or I need your help with that, or maybe you get out your phone and you're looking, not at what the Powerball's at, but you're looking at what the day looks like tomorrow, and you're saying, God, I need your help here. I need your help there. I need your help there. Maybe it's a child in your home that you're saying, man, I gotta have God's help with this situation, or a spouse, whatever it is, whatever the circumstance, there's nothing we can't seek God about, and there's nothing God can't do as we seek him. Let's just seek him right now, and then we'll close.